listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mothers. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ryan, the movie guy. And this week on Cinema Jaw, we are looking at our favorite westerns of all time, Matt.
Yeah, the best westerns, and we're not talking about the hotel chain.
No, I like that line.
Thanks.
And you know what? Last time we had the guest that we're bringing in this time, Jim Terry, when we bring this guy in, we're talking serious
he
films.
He schools us.
He
pretty
does.
Much is, you know.
Big time film buff, and I know he's going to have an awesome list.
Yeah.
Besides covering best westerns, we also have reviews for you of Monsters, Get Low, and Megamind, plus Eye for an Eye on a couple of new movies, some trivia, some Hollywood headlines. It's going to be a full show here.
We got a full show.
So let's bring in our guest, Jim Terry, artist extraordinaire. Welcome back to Cinema Jaw.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Fresh off a stint hanging with James O'Barr. I'm going to say, you're wagging your head. You're all ashamed of yourself.
James O'Barr?
Yeah, dude. Tell us about that.
Yeah, down at in Austin, Texas, they have an annual convention, StapleCon, and it's a great time down in Austin. Austin's pretty cool. I'd never been there before and just had a blast down there. It's a two-day affair, and it's just local artists from the neighboring. Texas is pretty big and satellite towns, you know, just gathered there for a good time.
And are you excited at all about C2E2 here in Chicago?
I'm excited about everything all the time. There's very few instances where I'm not excited.
Oh, wait, I got something. Are you excited about this? Reno's birthday Monday.
Ooh.
No kidding.
Yeah. We got to mention that.
Happy birthday, Redbox Reno.
That's right, our amazing producer. Happy birthday, dude.
Happy birthday. He'll be 29 forever.
That's right.
Now, I know I'm a fan, and I hit the like page on Jim Terry Art on Facebook. I love some of the stuff you put up on there.
Thanks, man.
I saw the troll today.
You're the one. What's that?
Yeah, both of us. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I saw the troll that you posted today. It was good.
Okay,
stuff.
Cool.
Was that
cool,
today
yeah.
or yesterday?
You could look at – I try to put up something every day. Something just about every day at Jim Terry Art on Facebook.
It's something I look forward to on going on Facebook. A lot of junk out there, but Jim Terry Art for the jawheads at home. Check it out.
Consistent
like it.
Gold.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
What other websites you got for people to go to? Check out some of your artwork.
I also have art and things for sale at woundedbutdangerous.com.
This is beautiful. So jawheads, get out there. Support
awesome.
This
Thank
guy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Spectacular artist. Before we get on with the show, though, Jim, we have a couple of guest questions for you to get to know
oh,
the
Oh, boy.
Guest.
I'm
Question
nervous.
Number one over to Jim Terry. Hey, they're remaking Pretty Woman, and your cast is Edward. What actress working today do you want to see cast as you or Vivian Ward?
She has to be working today?
Yes.
Is she a method actress?
If you want her to be.
She's a methadone addict. Does that work?
Oh. That's the Julia Roberts role, yeah.
Right, correct.
I'm not as familiar with that film as some others out. Jeez. You know, I don't want my wife to get upset with me, and she might listen to this eventually. So I'm gonna have to go with Judi Dench.
She's my girl, dude. That's my girl.
Oh, boy.
She's always a backup. She's a fine thespian.
She's a dame.
She's a dame.
Fine
She's a dame.
Actress. Nothing wrong with that pick at all, Jim. Nothing wrong.
You know what I found out? A dame is actually the female equivalent of a knight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, well, join the boat.
I'm probably the last guy.
Question number two, Jim. You go to a strip club. Who do you tip more?
Sweet.
Demi Moore in Striptease or Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls?
You're just trying to get him in trouble with his wife.
Yeah, what's up, man? Where's the Han Solo question?
Hey, who you tipping more? Demi Moore in Striptease or Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls?
Jeez, you know what? I got to go with Demi Moore because, you know, she had that, what was it, Disclosure? I know that she would probably murder me if I gave in to... The younger one. So I got to give it to her. She's got more class, you know?
Yeah.
Hey,
eventually.
Yeah. No,
Elizabeth
I'm with you.
Berkley showed all in Showgirls, you know.
Full frontal
yes.
rise, what you're looking for there.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question, Jim. You could only pick one group to join. Who do you want to be, the eighth Goonie or the fifth friend in Stand By Me? You can only pick one, Jim.
Yeah, I know you asked this question before, man, and I'm really not a fan of either of those groups.
Wow.
Really?
No, I'm not a Goonie.
You can pick neither.
Can I be the loner in Heathers instead?
That's a write-in. Yeah, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. That is Get to Know You right there with Jim Terry. Now, before we get to our list of best westerns, Matt, a couple of new movies opening up. Chime in on these. Eye for an Eye, Interested or Ignore on Limitless, an action thriller about a writer who takes an experimental drug that allows him to use 100% of his mind. As one man evolves into the perfect version of himself, forces more corrupt than he can imagine mark him for assassination. The film stars Bradley Cooper and Abby Cornish with a supporting role by Robert De Niro. Matt, Interested or Ignore on Limitless?
I'm a sucker for sci-fi and De Niro, so yeah, interested.
Jim, Interested or Ignore on Limitless?
This sounds like something I would maybe catch on cable at 2 in the morning, so I'm going to say ignore.
Ooh.
Boy, I got to agree with Jim here. There's
really
nothing here. Yeah, there's a limit on how much Bradley Cooper I can take. I'm giving an ignore to Limitless.
De Niro does nothing, huh?
No, does nothing, especially late in his career. He doesn't pull me into this at all.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
There's another one opening up called The Lincoln Lawyer. A lawyer conducts business from the back of his Lincoln Town Car while representing a high-profile client in Beverly Hills. Based on the novel of the same name, the cast includes Matthew McConaughey, the shirtless wonder, Marissa Tomei, Ryan Phillippe, William H. Macy, Josh Lucas, and John Leguizamo.
Oscar winner, Marissa Tomei, okay?
Matt, interested or ignore on The Lincoln Lawyer?
Sounds like something you do in the bathroom. Ignore.
Jim, interested or ignore on The Lincoln Lawyer?
Can you tell me who directed that by any chance?
I cannot.
Yeah.
You know why, too? I looked it up, and it was like a throwaway actor.
It does have a good cast. And you know what? I'll amend my Pretty Woman question and put Marissa Tomei in there.
Ah!
There you go.
I like her. She's an indie darling, man. She's really done some crazy,
spectacular,
some
in the wrestler.
Brave, real brave stuff. But this sounds like a paycheck, this one. You know, I'll say ignore.
Three for three on the ignore wagon right here.
All right.
Although I did read the Michael Connelly book. And
you did?
Yeah, it was entertaining. Yeah,
yeah, but I hate Matthew McConaughey. And does
really?
Nothing for me in something like this. I mean, every once in a while.
He does. He hates McConaughey.
I do. I mean,
you like McConaughey?
I think he's likable enough.
No.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Boy, oh boy, Jim, you're losing your streak cred here. The shirtless wonder Matthew McConaughey makes a lot of crappy movies lately.
Yeah.
I won't argue with you there, but, you know, he would have been fun to party with back in the day.
Yeah, probably
no doubt
still
about
is.
It. Now, really quick, we went in-depth on Robert Duvall and Bill Murray last week.
Yeah.
They're in that new movie, Get Low, Matt, and I checked it out. Robert Duvall and Bill Murray star in this rather boring story of an old hermit who plans his own funeral party. The movie moves at a snail's pace. Duvall plays the hermit who comes to a funeral director, played by Bill Murray, and asks that they throw a party for everyone he knows to come and tell a story about him. We then find out that Duvall's character has a very interesting past, and that one event some 40 years ago has left him living in guilt, and he finally wants the truth to come out. I did not find this humorous or dramatic. The story just sort of oozed across the screen. I wanted to like this one a lot more, Matt. I'm giving this one only two Jaws or a grade of a C. I'm skipping it.
You know, I have some information you can only hear here on Cinema Jaw. Critic Peter Travis from Rolling Stone said about this film, funny, touching, watching Murray spar with Duvall is pure pleasure.
Oh, what's he thinking on this?
You can only hear it here or on the back of the DVD case, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's on the DVD case, and I couldn't disagree more. But he does say sparring, and that's interesting because I'd like to see a better word used, because you're not seeing these two titans of acting, Bill Murray and Robert Duvall, really duke it out is the word you'd like to see if it was a strong performance. I don't want to see two guys practice their acting.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out regardless because I feel like this is one that I might have to make my own mind up on.
I could see you liking the film also.
Yeah.
You know, from our conversations, I could see Jim Terry getting some joy out of this film. But I think for the average viewer out there that's just looking for something that's a little funny out of Bill Murray, it's very slow. It drags on. Duvall at the end does a very fine job, but it's not enough to turn this one for me.
Billy and Bobby, though, I mean, they're titans. So
yeah.
If you want to see a hilarious Bill Murray movie, you got to check out The Razor's Edge.
The Razor's Edge.
Which is the movie that put him into a four-year hiatus.
Yes.
You know what? You can't tell my dry humor over the radio.
It's
when
a POS,
I
right? I mean,
no, it's good. It's good.
Yeah,
it's just not funny.
Well,
it's
you got to listen for his laugh afterwards. Then you know he's joking.
That's it. That's the Jim Terry secret.
Yeah, right. But not a joking matter. His Best Westerns, Jim, wouldn't you say you're a film buff, especially when it comes to film noirs, westerns, and war films? This is your categories.
I basically, my favorite movies are the ones that, I like a lot of testosterone in the film, you know. I think maybe I just don't have enough of it in real life, you know, in my own actions, you know.
Ah, you're a man's man, Jim.
I'm definitely a flight person instead of a fight. If Matt and you started fighting, I'd be out the door right now.
You just wouldn't want to see me murder Matt right in front of
you. I wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah.
I'd watch from a distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be taking bets. He'd be the bookie in the corner.
I'm so anxious to hear Matt's top five. I can't wait to hear talk about Back to the Future 3 and a couple of westerns that Matt's going to...
Just took my number one!
Matt's going to sprawl
I'm just
out
kidding.
Here. But, Matt, why don't you get us started here with your number five favorite western?
The Billy Crystal masterpiece.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding.
I thought you were going to go there, too.
No, seriously, folks.
Curly's Gold.
I'm going with Clint Eastwood, man. Unforgiven is my number five. Maybe some people might say that's a little too low, but I think it's a number five and not higher because it's a little slow, you know, and it's very realistic, which a lot of times you turn on a Western, you want that, you know, take me away to the wild, wild west kind of feeling, gun, you know, shootouts, and this isn't that kind of movie. It's a little slower. It's a little bit more... gritty, and when I say gritty, I mean true to life.
Well, I think it plays out like a lot of Westerns, a little bit slower. It was sort of a throwback to a little bit of the older Westerns compared to what they were doing right up until that time. You had some Young Guns and some other sort of younger Westerns popping up, and then Unforgiven came out and sort of tried to bring back the prestige of the Western. I caught it later on, years after it had won the Academy Award. It didn't hold up for me. I didn't know what all the hype was.
Honestly,
I'm not saying I hated the film, but I'd give it like more like 2.5, 3 stars. I thought it was okay, but I mean...
I don't know. I think it breaks ground. I disagree with you completely. I don't think that it throws it back to anything because the old Westerns were very idyllic and Hollywood. This one was the first one that was very not Hollywood, and it wasn't like the spaghetti Westerns or anything like that. It was its own movie, and it was early Clint Eastwood, 92, you know, early Clint Eastwood in his directing career, I should say.
He was starting to peak right then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's given us a lot since then, but this is top. Gene Hackman, Morgan Freeman, you know.
Richard Harris is amazing in that.
Yeah.
I says duck. Gene Hackman has never been better since, I think.
We got to do an in-depth on Gene Hackman.
You guys definitely should, man.
Absolutely. I love Gene Hackman.
I loved Unforgiven. I loved it when it came out. I left it off my list because I knew that it would be on somebody else's list.
Fair enough.
I didn't want to,
was it going to be on mine? I'm glad it was on Matt's.
I'm glad it was on Matt's, too, because then I would have had to really hurry and put it on mine somewhere. I saw it in 92 when it came out. I was a huge fan of I was into symbolism back then, and there sure as heck is a lot in there. But now I appreciate more the sort of ending aspect, like Clint's putting a cap on his Western career. And
that's
if you watch at the end of the credits, it's a commentary on like the man with no name, the unrequited violence, the guy that just shoots somebody without thinking twice. And how a burden like that can affect a man. Mm-hmm. I think it's a masterpiece.
Wow. We got a masterpiece thrown out right off the bat on Matt's number five.
That's a big dog, though. That's a big dog.
I don't throw that term out. Matt. You came strong. I thought you were coming
right out
with
the gates,
Back to the Future 3. You hit
City
me hard
slickers.
With Unforgiven.
City Slickers.
Man. All right. We throw it over to Jim Terry. What do you got at your number five?
For my number five, we talked about this a little bit before we started the proposition in Australian film. With my man Guy Pearce in there, and it's written by Nick Cave. I forget the name of the director, though. He went on to do The Road. And it's just a sparse, spare, moody, violent, beautiful movie. And I think it definitely qualifies in a top five of, and especially in the top of the last 10 years.
Wow. And we were talking right before we went on, and I had just mentioned that, like, you're not going to see The Proposition because on my list that a lot of these newer ones, even though they get hyped up, for me, they don't live up to the hype. I check out Westerns only when they're high praise. I got to see this movie, and I go see it. And The Proposition, again, didn't live up to it. I don't know if it moved too slow for me. It was supposed to be very gritty. And to me, I just didn't get down to it, but...
Well, you know, each his own. Did you see it, Matt?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm looking it up now because I want to find out what the director's name was.
I really enjoyed it. When I saw it at the Music Box, I was like, you know what? That is going to go in the collection. as soon as I saw it.
Wow.
And the soundtrack is awesome. I mean, I like Nick Cave already, but it's just such a moody additive to the movie and the visual imagery. And Danny Houston is fantastic in that movie.
Yes.
As they have that line where he's talking about being misanthropes, and his little guy says, is that what we are? Are we misanthropes? And he says, no, we're a family. So it's great. All right.
And another common theme, I think, in a lot of Westerns, especially the a little bit more sprawling epics, is the fantastic music in most of these films.
Yeah, definitely.
Swings it over to my number five. Newest film, I guarantee, on anyone's list, came out just here in 2010. I absolutely loved it. True Grit, the Coen Brothers remake of the John Wayne classic. The story of Matty Ross hiring U.S. Marshal Cogburn to hunt down her father's killer. The film has exceptional acting by all the leads. Matt Damon's phenomenal in there. Haley Steinfeld and Jeff Bridges. Remarkable cinematography. Written for the screen by the Coen Brothers. It's brilliant all the way around. Now, I must admit, saying all that, I haven't seen the original. Jim, I'm sure you have.
It has been a while. I'm not a huge John Wayne fan, so just get that right out there.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not one of these.
You don't like the Duke?
I'm Indian, man.
Do you like the dude?
I'm not one of these that have seen a ton of John Wayne movies either. And so when it came to seeing True Grit, I hadn't seen the original. I have no comparison on that. But this film by the Coen Brothers is exactly what I want out of a Western, where it's got good dialogue, beautiful cinematography. The story's simplistic in some ways. They're going for revenge, as you see in a lot of these greats. But it holds true as all around you care about the three main characters. And by the end, you got that dramatic draw of it all. For me, True Grit, number five.
I like it. Good pick.
Yeah.
I agree, man. I think it's totally solid, old school Western. Like something you would have seen back in the late 60s or early 70s. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, and in addition to the three main leads, Barry Pepper shows up at the end there.
How about it?
And he's got those
unrecognizable
raunchy teeth,
almost.
Just a fantastic small role. Knocked it out of the park, Barry Pepper. So check out True Grit.
As a little side note, I almost put No Country for Old Men as a Western.
I struggled with that as well.
Yeah.
I thought about it.
I think it qualifies, and it's Cormac McCarthy.
It's a Western,
but,
I think.
Yeah.
But good call on that.
All right. So we're through our number fives. Matt, swing it over to our number fours.
All right. Mine is a 1994, and this is going to be controversial.
Oh,
I guarantee it.
Always with the controversy.
Yep.
With this
1994 remake of a famous 50s television series. It's a gambling movie. Definitely, Jim is wincing, but I'm sticking to my guns on this. No pun intended. Maverick, I think. Dude, no. It's a great movie. Everybody hates Mel Gibson now, but back then he was America's sweetheart. You know,
doesn't this also have a Jodie Foster in there?
Yes, this is a critically acclaimed
movie. The prime seductress in any film.
I think you're painting your view of this movie with your contact lenses of 2010.
Incorrect.
Back in 94, this was a good movie. I mean, don't forget about James Garner playing in that. It was great. Everybody really enjoyed seeing the Maverick TV show.
Hey, dude.
No, I'm kidding with that. But I tell
it's
you
such
what.
A good gambling movie, too. He was such a snake and a con artist. I love the character. And Gibson pulls it off, man. He's got chops. I mean, he's a nutbag, but especially back then, he was good.
I don't know. For me, to be absolutely honest,
like
too, I've never
Donner?
Said all the way
was
through.
Was that
it.
Richard Donner that directed that?
The director?
Yeah.
Yeah, Donner.
Wow.
I've only seen it once.
This film's got a pedigree, man. I mean,
I saw it once. It was entertaining, man. You know, it was an entertaining Sunday afternoon film. But it's not in the chronology.
Well, it's a comedy. It's a comedy. Let's preface this. This is not an action film, although there were some good action pieces in it.
Is Capaloo on your list too?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But we'll
paint
see.
Your wagon red.
Yeah.
All right.
Swings us over to Jim's number four.
All right, my number four. I had to rearrange some of my stuff here. So,
he's
so
because Maverick was actually his number four.
Maverick was on my list, as was Back to the Future 3, but you guys started making fun of that, so I scribbled it. No, number four for me, I put The Magnificent Seven.
Classic.
Just because it is a classic. And, you know, the old Eli Wallach and is a bad guy, and what a cast. You know, you get the old... I think it's John Sturges directed that, and it was all, you know, he did The Great Escape, so he had these awesome casts and awesome widescreen photography, and you know, it's like one of Steve McQueen's first debuts. Chuck Bronson is in there, Yul Brynner, James Coburn, who got the role after Sterling Hayden didn't take it, you know, and it's just some cool, good old get behind there, and it's a remake too, mm-hmm. you know, Seven Samurai, it's just awesome. Elmer Bernstein music is fantastic, so that's my number four.
Strong pick.
Agreed.
I have never seen it.
Yikes!
Honest to God.
No, I've seen it, but I mean, geez,
long time
like,
ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
It bears a rewatch.
I mean, I'll tell you, westerns, like I say, isn't my strong suit. I'm trying to get into them, so I know this is one that's been on my list for a long time to check out for a western.
You know what?
Essential.
If you like, based on what you're saying, I think you'll enjoy this. It's fast paced. It's really entertaining. It's just a solid old school movie.
And it's
it's no Maverick.
I was gonna say, and it's better than Maverick.
Maverick does have that great beginning though, where
dude,
he's
Maverick
getting hung.
Is good.
He's
you guys.
He's on the horse, right? And he's getting going to
Yeah, he's
hung.
About
yeah.
to get hung. Rise just hates Mel Gibson.
No,
that's what
no,
it is.
No, I don't absolutely hate him. But all right.
I'm still
swing,
with Mel.
Swing this over
I'm
to my number four. Mel. I go classic for you on this one, Matt. We're talking 1952.
Ooh. Digging
ooh.
Deep.
Whoa.
It's black and white.
Black and white indeed, Matt. Really, really well done there. Gary Cooper, I'm talking about High Noon.
Nice.
Now, Gary Cooper, Grace Kelly, and Lloyd Bridges, all right? Cooper plays Marshal Will Kane, who on the day he gets married and is about to retire, gets informed that the man he sent to prison years before is on a train heading back to town and will be there with his gang at noon to get his revenge. The townspeople, Matt, just like yourself, turn their backs and run. They don't protect the marshal. And instead of helping them, they hide in fear. Gary Cooper takes on all the bad guys.
Hey.
Becoming a cinematic hero for the ages. I tell you what, I saw this one when I was in college. Haven't seen it since. The runtime on this thing is like 85 minutes.
It's almost in real time.
And it's almost in real time is what I was going to say, which was spectacular. So basically, right when the movie starts, you got about 85 minutes till the train rolls into town, and then the movie just rolls.
And what's the bad guy's name?
Oh, boy. You're challenging me here. I don't know.
Frank Miller.
Really?
Uh-huh. And,
nice.
Tex Ritter does a song, and it's "Till Frank Miller comes to town." You know? Yeah. It's unfortunate for Frank Miller.
Yeah, for the comic book artist Frank Miller, yeah.
And this was one of those that I'm not very familiar with a lot of the classic westerns, and I had a film class, they showed this one to us, and I was like, well, see, if they're all this good, I could watch all these. Unfortunately, they're not all as good as High Noon, but High Noon, high ranks if you haven't seen
it. And did you know that the legend is that Fred Zinnemann, when he did it, it was supposed to be a condemnation of the Red Scare and McCarthyism. And everybody abandons him,
yep.
And he's left to face it alone. And that's how many of the guys back then felt when
yeah.
they were dealing with this stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean,
so
you could take that or leave it. You could take that or leave it. It works on its own.
They sort of come up with that stuff after the fact. Oh, yeah, it's a commentary on McCarthyism. That's what it is, sure.
Well, that's why it got any of the negative reviews that it did when it came out was because they were like, oh, God, look at he's making a statement, you know.
Really? Usually that helps a film.
Nowadays it does, but not back then.
All
brings
right.
us into our number threes, Matt.
Uh-oh.
Here comes Back to
trembling.
The Future 3. I know. I'm nervous for Matt. I'm nervous.
3D. No. This is a film. The title is synonymous with my favorite pizza. I'm, of course, talking about Tombstone.
I knew that was going to be on your list, man.
Did you?
Yeah, I knew it. 100%.
Why? Because it's obvious. It's an obvious choice, right?
It's an obvious choice.
I know
it's
it is.
It's a good one, man.
But this is why I love this. I'm two words for you. Ready? Doc Holliday. That's the plain and simple. I'm not going to ask for any forgiveness, and I'm making no excuses here. I freaking love Tombstone, and it's because of Val Kilmer's performance as Doc Holliday. I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm with
said.
You. 100%, man. Hey, it's entertaining
and
as hell.
It is. It's very entertaining. In fact, I watched it yesterday after, you know, we're getting pumped up to do this podcast. We were supposed to do it last week, needless to say. I had my list ready. I had time on my hands. I'm like, oh, man, go through my collection. What haven't I seen in a while? Tombstone jumped out at me. I hadn't watched
Boom.
It in a long time.
Right.
And, yes, very entertaining. One of the best, I don't know, obviously arguable. It's not on my top five, but very entertaining. I'll give you that.
But you know what? When we're putting all pretense aside here, okay, and just taking off our film critic coats and saying we're a couple dudes watching movies, Tombstone is the one you put on at your house and rewatched, okay?
But you know what?
So come down and agree with me here, Ryan.
At a couple of points, though, I felt myself chuckling at their really – awesome over-the-top shots of like the way Val Kilmer takes off his coat before he's about to shoot his shotgun at the opening corral. Yeah. That's just like, oh my god, it's bordering
you know
on
what?
The Young Guns.
It really could have dealt without the Dana Delaney love story though. That is a groaner.
Yeah, there's a lot of groaners in it, and
it's
Kurt
terrible,
Russell
actually.
Is no small part of those groaners. He sucks in this.
I have to throw a hat out there to the man, Billy Zane. The prettiest man I ever saw.
Yes. It's so funny. He was on my one-hit wonder list. Like, where is this guy gone? And this obviously was before Titanic, but I was so shocked after rewatching it yesterday. I'm like, wow, Billy Zane's in this.
Yeah,
hilarious.
He sunk with the Titanic, right?
And also, so is Thomas Hayden Church from Sideways fame.
And Billy Bob Thornton.
Let's
not forget a little guy called Sam Elliott, man.
Yeah.
The guy that narrates the dude.
Good old Bill Paxton. It's a great cast.
It is.
And we're, of course, forgetting the man, Kurt Russell.
Yep.
No, I mentioned him. I don't think this is his best performance at all.
Our home is a very Kurt Russell-friendly home.
Mm-hmm. You do a wonderful impersonation also. Hate to put
Jack
you on the
Burton.
Spot, but give me one right now.
That's two on the spot.
Come on.
Okay, so good job on the tombstone.
he's passing the buck. All right.
That was it. That was the impersonation. It was beautiful.
Spot on.
That was my Kurt Russell in Used Cars. All right.
Good pick, Matt. Good pick.
Thank
All right.
You.
We swing it over to Jim. You're number three.
All right. Well, I picked a little treasure here. Paul Newman in an Elmore Leonard tale, Ombre.
Ooh, have
Unfamiliar.
Not seen.
Unfamiliar.
Oh, you guys, treat yourself to Ombre. It's Paul is an icon, Mr. Newman. In fact, my slogan is, what would Paul Newman do? And it's kept me out of numerous very, very dangerous scenarios.
Really, I would think it would throw you into them. Cause,
it does, but it gets me out like a slippery eel on the flip side.
I must admit, when he said Paul Newman, I thought he was going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe it comes up on Matt's list later, so
I don't want to spoil anything. No, Ombre, he plays a white guy who is raised by Apaches, and he ends up taking the stagecoach with these people, and then the coach gets robbed, and he's out there, and he's got to lead these people who he cannot stand. He's got to save them from the villains, and he is such a great anti-hero. And there's this incredible ending, and he is just cool as ice in it. And it's Elmore Leonard. I mean, how can you lose? He's written some fantastic westerns. So, that's my number three, Ombre. It's a little less known, but it's definitely worth your while.
I'm putting it on the top of the queue.
Actually, I saw it in my research, and yeah, it's up there for me. I want to watch
it. Beautiful pick. All right, number three, over to me. This one came out in 2007. I have it as an underlooked masterpiece. Absolutely love this film. The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Nice long title there.
Yes.
I like how he rings his own
title.
I know.
Brad Pitt, Casey Affleck star in the story of the last days of Jesse James. And although we know what happens, and obviously the title gives it away, the suspense builds so beautifully in this film to the climax. And what a climax it is. It's just absolutely fantastic scene. One of those where you can have different interpretations of exactly what the characters were thinking at the time. As in, did Jesse James want to die? Was it a test of trust? Yada, yada. You can look at it a couple different ways. The film also supplies gorgeous, gorgeous cinematography and a beautiful score to boot. I saw this after I had seen that year No Country for Old Men, and also There Will Be Blood came out that year, and I really feel The Assassination of Jesse James is right up there. I love this film.
I enjoyed it too, and actually I enjoyed it more the second time I saw it. The first time I watched it, I felt like it was really a showcase for Brad Pitt to look moody, but I've watched it the second time, and really what stood out was Casey Affleck.
Oh,
he's
what a
really
performance.
Remarkable. And Jeremy Renner's in that too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like a danger to everything that's in there. And you really start to feel for the coward.
You do.
What's his name? Oh, God, I love him as an actor. Sam Rockwell.
Yes, absolutely.
As a brother.
He's fantastic.
He is. He's always good.
And
he's
the way the tension builds throughout the entire movie, I mean, mm-hmm. from really about 5-10 minutes into it all the way up until the assassination of Jesse James, there's a tension when the characters are all on screen together. It's awesome.
I'd say definitely good pick, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it. I just picked it up and put it in the collection on Blu-ray, so I'm interested in checking it out again, especially after doing this podcast. swings us over to our number twos, Matt.
All right. I'm actually excited to reveal this one because it's one of my favorite, certainly one of my favorite Westerns, man. I love this one. It comes on TV a lot, and whenever it does, I sit down and I pay attention. I'm talking about the Clint Eastwood joint. Well, it wasn't directed by him, but he stars in The Outlaw Josie Wales.
That was directed by him.
Aha!
Oh, I take that back. You are correct, sir. Sorry. Yeah, no, this was really early Clint Eastwood, man. That's why I was thinking he didn't direct it. He did direct it.
It's got a fantastic DVD cover on there with him holding the guns.
Yeah, screen. I mean, that's like...
There it is.
I got it right there. I don't even know where to begin with this movie. It's such a sprawling story, and I think Clint Eastwood was a little like... He's gotten more concise. I don't know. Learned how to tell a story a little bit better. It was sort of like, I don't know if Jim, you would agree here, sort of a little sprawling.
Josie Wales?
Yeah.
Well, I just changed it because that was my number two. So I replaced it with a worthy. that is my favorite Clint Eastwood movie. And I think there's nothing wrong with the pacing. I think it's
oh, no, yeah,
pretty much near perfect. I prefer it to Unforgiven. I prefer it to Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's certainly got the most heart out of any of his movies.
Yeah.
His little family, and you find yourself laughing at the humor that comes out of nowhere in this movie, especially with Chief Dan George,
There's some great humor. There's some great action. It's obviously there's a lot of good revenge in this film. It's
some of the best one-liners ever.
Yeah. I mean, this is where we really get to know the man.
Have
with
you
the
seen this
teeth.
Movie, Ryan, the movie guy? I'm ashamed of
Dude.
You.
I'm telling you.
I'll just straight say I'm ashamed of you. Not ashamed for you or sad for you, but ashamed of you.
Boy, that's low. I'm sticking it in the couch.
Ashamed to be associated with you.
I hope I could pick it up on my last two. We'll
you got you got to put it in there with Ombre, man.
And I stole Jim Terry's number two, so... Hey, yeah, that's got to mean something, right?
I'm not even going to lie. There's times like I've wanted to purchase this movie, and you being a sort of a DVD collector can know this. I haven't seen the movie. Everybody tells me how good it is. I've read how good it is. And then the DVD art
Dude,
looks so
really
cool.
Good.
It's like, I just want this thing in my collection. I haven't even seen the film.
There are a few Westerns that everybody that I know, even people who don't like Westerns, like this movie.
Like, yeah.
They see
yeah,
it and they're like, this is just a good movie.
My dad introduced me to this movie. He's like, oh, the Outlaw Josie Wales? And my dad does not like Westerns. I mean, my dad watches chick flicks. His favorite movie is Finding Forrester. That's his favorite movie, which is okay. It's a fine movie, whatever. But, yeah, Outlaw Josie Wales transcends.
Beautiful.
Transcends.
Beautiful pick, Matt. Beautiful
Thanks.
Pick. It upstaged, it, or I should say it tied Jim Terry's number two. Let's see what he replaced it with. What do you got, Jim?
I replaced it with a very worthy movie, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
That's the Duke, isn't it?
Yeah, the Duke is in there,
oh,
man.
Wow.
I do like a couple John Wayne movies, but I prefer to think of this as a Jimmy Stewart film. And, you know, he plays the yeah, everybody's got a Jimmy Stewart.
I know.
I've perfected my own, but I won't do it now.
Why not, Jim? Come on.
Well, there's a time and a place for everything. It just might not be the right time, is all.
It's beautiful.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart plays the lawyer who rolls into town in the Old West, and he gets bullied around by the baddest dude Lee Marvin that you could imagine. And you know, John Wayne is a tough guy that's lived in the town and knows the ways of the Old West, and he can't believe this pencil neck Stewart is here. And you know, and then ultimately the title of The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, who is Lee Marvin, comes into play, and there's irony involved and a little bit of demythologization. Is that the word? Demythologization of the West?
We'll
I'm not sure.
We'll give it to you, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another one I got to put on my queue.
I haven't seen this one either.
Oh, yeah. You guys will both like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
I've heard very good things, so don't get me wrong. Especially when you're doing the research for this podcast, you see a lot of these same films, they pop up. So, yeah, definitely got to put it up at the top of the queue.
All right.
It's going to be all month long Westerns, end of March here, I tell you.
Me too.
All right.
We'll make a man out of you yet.
My number two controversial pick, as Matt likes to say.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy, I'm just going to get out and say it because the drama's killing me here. 1990, Dances with Wolves.
I knew you would pick this one.
You got it as a Western? Is it a Western?
I think it qualifies as a Western.
Civil War, maybe.
Yeah, Civil War. That's kind of...
It's a borderline Civil War
yeah.
Western film. Obviously, I call it Kevin Costner's opus. John Dunbar goes out to the Old West after the Civil War to the Out West outpost and befriends Indians. We all know the story. It's an intimate story, though, yet the scope of the film is large. We see the sprawling Old West like never before. It's shot so beautifully, has an unbelievable score by John Barry, who just recently passed away. Fantastic wide shots throughout the film. One of my favorite of those wide shots is when the John Dunbar waves. He's always waving back to the Indians out on the plain. And finally,
and he's
one
naked?
Finally, one of the Indians waves back. Just absolutely fantastic. Also, hilarious as far as them teaching the different languages. And I have a clip from the film. This is John Dunbar trying to tell the Indians that there is buffalo in the area.
Tonka. Tonka. Tatonka.
Tonka.
Right here. Tatonka.
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 Tatonka. Buffalo.
Do.
Buffalo.
Tatonka.
Buffalo.
Buff.
Buff. Buff.
Buff.
Buffalo. Tatonka.
I think that if people were on the fence about this movie, they're totally going for it now after that clip.
No doubt about it. You got Tatonka and Buffalo going back and forth there.
This is about a toy construction truck.
Well, I used to work with this girl. She was rather plump, and her name was last name was Buffalo. I don't want to say her first name because that might give it away, but...
You're going to say her last name.
Yeah,
that,
right,
that won't
exactly.
give anything away.
And I used to walk around and call her Buffalo Tatonka at work. It was absolutely hysterical. But
I'm sure it was for everybody involved.
I tell you what. Dances with Wolves, for some reason, it's one of those special place in my heart. With
You're so
Kevin
cruel.
Special place in my heart with the Kevin Costner vehicle. I know a lot of people have hate for it because it beat out Goodfellas at the Oscars that year. But I love it. I see it. I watch it all the way through if I come through it on TV.
Well, we all know that Goodfellas is a better film. So, I mean, that's okay. But, yeah, the Tatonka thing is great. That's great. That alone saves it. I hate Kevin Costner. I'm just going to go out on that limb. But yeah, no, Dances with Wolves, if I had to pick one film of his that I would like, it's that one.
I think it's a beautiful movie. It made being Indian, it made being Indian kind of okay for a little while, made it trendy. You know, it wasn't just hippies pretending after a while, you know. But yeah, it's a good movie. I hate to say it, man, but I'm an easy mark. And that last scene where he's like, "Don't you know I am your friend?" I get a little lump in my throat.
Yeah,
I can't help it.
As
man.
Do I. Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Plus, that's wind in my hair. Oh, it's
not very controversial. Yeah. I'll go with that.
All right. That was a strong number two. It swings us into our number ones.
All right. This one is controversial. Because I'm talking...
Is it El Topo?
No, it's an animated film.
Oh, boy, Matt, after all the great... I don't even know.
Is it Turok?
No, it's American Tale, Five Will Goes West.
I hate you.
No, I'm totally messing. I'm throwing out my honorable mentions there. Now, this is an avant-garde film, though. It's black and white, but it was made very recently. Johnny Depp, Dead Man. And I think
excellent.
You might have even mentioned
yeah.
that in your film noir, didn't you?
No, he did not.
Did that come up?
No.
Boy, I didn't like this movie at all.
You didn't like it?
Really?
1995?
I tip my hat to Matt's choice there. Yeah. Yeah, that's in my honorable mentions.
Oh, wow.
Gary yeah. Farmer, Billy Bob Thornton, Iggy Pop, Crispin Glover, John Hurt. You know, the list goes on. This movie is great. I can't believe you don't like it, Ryan, honestly.
This was recommended to me a couple of years ago, actually, by Jen's parents. Like, oh, you got to
yeah.
check out
it's
this
a very
film.
Artsy
it
movie.
Is.
Neil Young soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, it's classified as an acid Western. That's the actual, like...
Sometimes, I don't know if, like, for me, when I watch some of these films like this, like, maybe the... timing of it's off. Like I'm feeling like some of the shots are too long or something. I don't know.
It's
just
Jarmusch.
For I don't know.
It's really strange. Just, there's no doubt yeah. about it. It's
couldn't a, get it into it.
Also
I just could
Robert,
not get into it.
Robert Mitchum's last role.
Yeah, that's right. His very last movie. You know, it's another thing that's weird about it is it's shot. I think it's shot on video or something, but it's black and white. So that new technology mixed with the old technology just was weird.
Yeah, I don't think Jarmusch has worked with on video. I'm fairly certain that's film. And it's Robbie Mueller did the cinematography, and he's always got like a very artistic, but the movie's real oily.
Maybe it was the transfer or something. It was I don't know what it is. I couldn't say, but there's something about the look of the movie that just throws you off. Mm-hmm. It's weird, right? I mean,
it is weird. It's beautiful too, and it's got some very shocking scenes of violence.
It does.
Yeah. And how can you forget Lance Henriksen?
Yeah, yeah. And there, that's right. Yeah. The whole movie is you have seen it.
I have seen it. Not a big fan.
So the hero, Johnny Depp, if you can call him a hero, is really the most unlikely of characters. You know, he's not an outlaw type. You know, he's a banker. He's a pencil neck. And he gets sort of thrust into the situation. And he's literally the title of the film. I'm not giving anything away here. He's sort of dying throughout the movie, and I won't say why. But he becomes an outlaw, and it's such a great Western. I mean, the theme of the movie is death, which is, you know, when you have nothing left to live for, why not be an outlaw? I don't know. When you're going to die.
I love it when he says, when you have nothing, I'm William left Blake, to live for. Have you heard my poetry? And he shoots him.
So strong pick, Matt. Strong pick. We'll give you that.
I'll tip my hat. Jim liked it. I'll tip the sombrero for that one.
Thank you.
I honestly thought for sure you were going with The Quick and the Dead.
The Quick and the Undead would have been my second choice.
I thought you were going with, what is that, Surioki Django, that Tarantino thing?
You know, I don't know. No.
Okay, so anyways.
All right. Back to reality here. Back to reality. All right,
what you
Jim's
got, Jim?
Number one. Jim's right. Number one. This is a big moment.
This is my number one Western, and it is coincidentally possibly my number one film ever.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is 1969 Sam Peckinpah's The Wild Bunch.
Never seen it.
Have not seen it.
My heart just cracked in two, literally. Into quads. It cracked in two twice.
You had to expect that. I mean,
you know what? I could honestly talk for an hour about this movie. If you ever watch it with me, you're going to want to shut me up because I'm like running commentary. It works on so many levels. I won't even go into it, man. Just trust me and go watch it
tonight.
Now.
Yeah.
Tonight. It's a two hours and 40 minutes long. It's got William Holden finally embracing his rugged alcoholism and just going with it. Warren Oates, how can you? Ben Johnson, you know, I mean, there's so many icons of like, you know, old school Westerns in this. It's amazing. It's violent. It's brutal. It's symbologic. It's a demythologization of
there's
the old West. There's that word. You know, it is the masterpiece, the quintessential anti-Western, the anti-heroes. It's great. Oh, and Ernest Borgnine. How can I forget him?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm sold.
You're sold with Ernie,
yes.
With Ernie B.
I like this.
Oh, it's great. It'll knock your socks off. The opening sequence is an action scene that most movies would save for their end piece.
Right.
And coincidentally, it has my favorite gunfight in it.
Ooh, we'll get to our favorite gunfights. Strong pick at number one leaves me with my number one. I can't even believe this guy's name hadn't been mentioned in anybody's top five, and that is Sergio Leone. His 1968 masterpiece, Once Upon a Time in the West, stars Henry Fonda, Charles Bronson, Claudia Cardinale.
Cardinale.
There we go. Trying to sum up this film in a few sentences is impossible to do. It's just too brilliant. The plot has the owner of a railroad, the plot of owners of the railroad hiring a gunslinger. He's played by Fonda, who's fantastic in this role.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
evil.
Yes. Those eyes are fantastic in this role. He's going to take out everybody in their way. He kills an entire family except for the wife, who's played by Claudia. She finds protection from a local man and also a mysterious harmonica man played by Charles Bronson. That story of revenge, the expansion of the railroad, the film has it all. The music in this film.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the number one score in movie history. Jim, give me credit on that.
Hey, can I say that it killed me to take this off of my number three spot? We spoke before, and I knew that you put that in there, so I replaced it. But this is a movie that I can watch any time. And especially the Claudia Cardinale theme music.
It's gorgeous.
When she gets off the train, yes. And there's that sweeping moment where she's waiting, and she looks at the clock, and then the camera pans up over the town, and the music sweeps in. It brings a tear to my eye. I'm not kidding.
I'm not kidding either. I remember at that point, this is only going back maybe 5 years ago, it was the first time I saw it. And when I saw it, it was right around that moment where I thought, wow, I'm seeing something special here.
Yes.
From that point on, I was just sold with this movie. And as soon as it ended, I remember thinking, like, wow, I finally just saw an absolutely awesome Western that I'm going to, for now on, say is my favorite Western of all time.
And
Once upon
Charles
time
Bronson, how great was he in that?
He's absolutely awesome.
And who played the third in the trio there? Jason Robards.
Yes.
Jason Robards, man. He was awesome in that.
Yeah. I mean, Bronson is the harmonica man. He's got his music. There's three main themes in the score that constantly come up over and over again.
Leone does great things. I mean, he didn't do the score for the film, right?
No.
It was Morricone.
But, you know, I guess he as the director, probably chooses the guy that does the score. And like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you know, that doo-loo-loo.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Now it's so iconic.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I mean, all the Leone movies, definitely.
Didn't he structure the entire film around those three? He wanted it to be like a musical.
Yes.
And to actually have no dialogue and just music. And, of course, you can't do that. How about that opening sequence? No dialogue for 10 minutes.
For the longest time.
And you got Woody Strode in there.
It's so drawn out. I had this when we were talking about our favorite opening scenes where it's so drawn out. You think, like, right away, these three guys that you first introduced to are going to be, like, main characters in the movie, and then everybody's dead after.
Well, you know that so Leone, awesome. Who made Eastwood with the Man with No Name movies, asked him if he wanted to be in this. And he said, sure, what role am I playing? And he said, you're one of the three guys in the beginning.
That gets killed.
That gets killed. Because I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would have been awesome.
Maybe not. Maybe not so much.
Awesome. Great choice, man. I would have loved to have put that on mine and talked about it for about a good half hour.
Yeah. Fantastic film. It's in the collection. And speaking of in the collection and having great shootouts, I'll go first. And Matt, you already spoiled mine.
Did I?
My favorite shootout, anyways, would probably come in Tombstone. Just because I watched it yesterday. It's between that and I bash this movie all the time. Young Guns, the very end of the first one when they put Billy the Kid in the chest.
And they throw him out the window.
Oh, I used to love
that's
that.
Pretty cool.
Mind you, this is as a kid. I loved it. I haven't seen it in years, but I remember thinking that was the absolute coolest. He pops out of the chest, guns a-blazing, everybody's shooting, the horse comes, Billy the Kid gets away. Like, that was phenomenal. What do you got for a good shootout in a Western?
You know what, man? I'm going with the classic, the end of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, man.
And I can't believe this movie did not come up on somebody's
list. It deserved to be on there, yeah.
That's probably, like, you think about cinematic shootouts, really, that's where your mind goes first. At the end of Butch Cassidy
that was
and the Sundance
a good
Kid.
One. That was a good one.
Boom.
That's, what do you got,
that's
Jim?
Shootout.
Well, geez, the shootout at the end of the Wild Bunch, that's all I got to say. It's nicknamed the Battle of the Bloody Porch, if that does anything for you.
Sold.
Yeah.
And there is a Gatling gun involved.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Also, the Open Range, the Costner film. That
it
has
did.
A fantastic shootout
yeah.
at the end.
I didn't care for the movie overall, but I remember thinking the ending was phenomenal.
A couple glitches in there, but you know, whatever.
Someone's always got to fall off a roof. That's the thing with a Western, you know?
Yeah.
Like
They get those slanted roofs and then roll down onto the ground.
Can I say, exactly. I'm surprised that Matt didn't do Blazing Saddles in there somewhere.
You know, I thought about it.
Yeah, I was shocked also. Number I thought one. You'd have Blazing Saddles and Back to the Future 3. Neither.
No, man, come on. Back to the Future 3, no way. Blazing Saddles would have been worthy on this list. I really think that it would have been.
Well, hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got trivia, cowboy movie trivia.
Uh-oh.
With a slant on that. And also, the trivia question I threw out to the Jawheads. We'll talk about it when we get back. All I said was this, Matt. Steven Seagal or Jean-Claude Van Damme?
It's a tease.
All right. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. We all know Clint Eastwood has starred in many films, but did you know he has also directed more movies than Steven Spielberg and George Lucas combined? Eastwood has directed a total of 32 feature films, while Lucas and Spielberg's efforts add up to only 30. And that is your Cinema Jaw movie fact.
And we're back on Cinema Jaw. Before we get to cowboy movie trivia, Jim Terry's got a few honorable mentions. Go ahead, Jim.
This is for any jawhead who might be eager to check out some different westerns here. Winchester 73, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, The Big Country, Ride the High Country, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, The Tall T, The Searchers, Destry Rides Again, and The Gunfighter with Gregory Peck. And as non-Western alternatives, but to feel like Westerns, you got El Topo, A Boy and His Dog, Mad Max, and Firefly.
Listen to Jim Terry on these. His picks are golden.
Gold.
He never steers me wrong.
Solid gold, baby.
Before we get to trivia, hey, real quick, that Jawhead question. Out to the Jawheads. Steven Seagal or Van Damme? Matt, who do you think the Jawheads picked on this one?
I picked Seagal, but I'll say Van Damme for the Jawheads.
Ooh. Believe it or not, the Jawheads chimed in. 66% said Steven Seagal.
Yeah, we got some smart fans.
And one of them, James Riley, says Seagal, Marked for Death, his best movie easily.
Marked for Death.
I don't know about Marked for Death.
How about Hard Target?
How about Hard Target?
Hard Target has the best one-liner.
It's all about Above the Law.
All right. Hey, really quick, before we get to Cowboy Movie Trivia, I caught a movie. Jim, I think you saw the same movie. It's out on DVD. It's called Monsters. Filmmaker Gareth Edwards gives us a human story inside a sci-fi themed film. He did this with a budget of $800,000. Guerrilla filmmaking at its best. Edwards shot the entire film down in South America, then came home and did the post-production basically by himself as well, including the special effects shots, which contain some very large alien creatures. The story picks up 6 years after a NASA probe returning to Earth with alien life forms crashes over Mexico. The result is enormous squid-slash-octopus-slash-dinosaur-looking aliens roaming the grounds in Mexico. The U.S. has built a large wall along its borders to keep the aliens out. Meanwhile,
sounds awesome, man.
A girl is trapped down there in the affected area, and a journalist who works for her father agrees to help her get back home to the United States. The two of them are basically the entire cast. This is not an over-the-top action movie. It's more focused on the human side of it. It's beautifully shot, has incredible music, and the aliens look pretty damn cool. Inspiring filmmakers, that includes you, Charles Klein. Check this one out. Ride the Movie Guy is giving it 3 Jaws or a grade of a B. These are films we need to support. Jim, what'd you think of this one?
Hey, man, I liked it, too. I'll give it a B. I know a lot of people that didn't like it, and, you know, whatever reasons they had, I understand that. But, hey, I give the guy an A for effort. And if he can do this with less than $1 million, what's he going to do with the budget?
I agree.
I tip my hat. And, you know, it's the high-concept alternative to paranormal activity. You know, no budget, but this guy did wonders with it.
He did. Yeah. He did. Keep your eye on this guy's career, Gareth Edwards. All right, moves us into trivia.
Uh-oh.
Matt Kay is 3-4 on the year. He's coming off a big win.
Oh, man.
It's Cowboy Movie Trivia.
You feel Jim, the lucky punk?
Jim, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or
living,
let Matt.
Boy.
There are steals, and we do have lifelines. Rescue Me Reno, in case you need help. Our
all
wonderful
right.
producer will come in with a hint. You want to go first?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Let's
all right.
get this rolling.
Cowboy Movie Trivia. Question number one over to Jim Terry. John Travolta rides a mechanical bull and falls in love with a girl named Sissy in this 1980 film.
Urban Cowboy.
1-0, Jim Terry. Over to Matt. In City Slickers, Billy Crystal and gang meet a cowboy named Curly, played by...
Jack Palance. One-arm push-ups.
1-1. 1-1. Back over to Jim Terry.
Oh,
in Brokeback
no.
Mountain, Jake Gyllenhaal was in love with Heath Ledger. But who played Jake Gyllenhaal's wife in the movie? You do have a Rescue Me Reno lifeline if you need it.
That is Anne Hathaway.
2-1, Jim Terry. 2-1, Jim Terry. We throw this one over to Matt. In the Toy Story films, who voices Jessie, the yodeling cowgirl?
Oh, man.
You do have a lifeline.
All right. Rescue Me, Reno.
Rescue Me, Reno. Question number 4 in the Toy Story films. Who voices Jessie, the yodeling cowgirl?
John's sister.
John's sister.
John's sister is the clue. John's sister's the clue. Yodeling cowgirl.
John's sister.
We throw it over to Jim Terry. Time was up.
Come on.
Jim, you got a chance for a steal in the Toy Story films. Who voices Jessie, the yodeling cowgirl?
Do I have to go for this? Because I have no clue.
You don't?
No.
Boy, the clue was no help. It was Joan Cusack. John's sister.
Oh, man.
Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Still 2-1. This clue is over to Jim. in Midnight Cowboy, who starred alongside Dustin Hoffman?
John Voight, man.
Love that movie. 3-1, Jim Terry.
Wait, wait, wait. No, it's 3-2.
No, 3-1. All right, we throw it back over to Matt.
You didn't get that last one, bro.
I thought I got two right.
In 2000, Clint Eastwood teamed up with Tommy Lee Jones, James Garner, and Donald Sutherland in this film.
Oh, Space Cowboys.
3-2. This question's over to Jim. In Boogie Nights, this actor played Buck Swoop, a cowboy slash stereo salesman slash porn star.
The great Don Cheadle.
4-2, Matt.
He loved his stereos.
Who plays the cowboy whose character name is actually the stranger in The Big Lebowski?
Sam Elliott.
That was the last question. It's all over. Jim Terry. Come on.
Come on.
Unbelievable. Matt, you're on a roll
Cusack.
There at the end. Hey, they...
2-0.
Gave you a clue and all.
Damn you, Joan Cusack.
Here was the tiebreaker in case there was one. Jim, who would you rather face in a showdown out in the Old West? Somebody you know you would beat. Best chance at winning. Liza Minnelli or Dick Clark?
Oh, man, I would say probably Dick Clark. No?
I'd go Liza Minnelli on that one.
That's right, she has vertigo,
yes.
Doesn't she? Yeah.
Hey, real tiebreaker was this. Age of Sam Elliott. Closest to?
I don't think he's 60. I'll say 56.
Jim?
I'll say 62.
We'd give that one to Jim.
Really? How old is he?
66 years young.
No kidding.
Unbelievable.
Wow. I had no idea it was
that old. The mustache is 67 years old.
Wow. That's interesting.
Unbelievable. Jim, thanks for beating Matt in trivia, and thanks for coming on Cinema.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Screw you, Jim.
All right. Thanks to our wonderful producer, Steve Mrazek Reno.
Thank you,
Best
Steve.
Best in the biz.
Thanks to PBR. Thanks to Stranger Days Radio. And also, we had our photographs taken thanks to...
Yeah, Photo Joe Dowling, man. He's the best in the biz at what he does.
Yeah, absolutely. So, till next week, keep on jawing about the movies.
Awesome.
Bang, bang.
Thanks for having me.